I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is pretty crazy to think that it was preseason when we asked fans of various NFL teams to call in with their fight songs or their cheers or their chants. And that's when I learned about Duval. And now we're through week 10. Week 10. It's double digits. We just turned 10. But we got a capper of a game on Monday Night Football. It was pretty awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll get back to your calls here in a couple minutes. 855-212-4227. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. I have determined, after watching the Seattle Seahawks, not just Russell Wilson, but certainly the veterans that are still holdovers from their most recent Super Bowl trips, I've determined those Seahawks, who then set the tone for the rest of the locker room, they like being uncomfortable. It's actually turned into a comfort zone for them. It's okay to be a little bit outside your comfort zone, right? And the more you can emerge from those situations, tight, difficult, pressure-packed, the more you can survive, even thrive, the better you become as a team and the more potent you are as a postseason contender. And we are seeing the Seattle Seahawks put themselves in these uncomfortable situations. Now, would they like to blow out every team? Sure, but that's not all that helpful when you're talking about being playoff ready and battle tested. They've had some weaknesses. Their defense has not performed well. The pass rush hasn't been there like it was on Monday night. They've had a revolving door at receiver. But what they do have is a handful of veterans who know what it means to thrive in adversity, and they certainly have a coach who's seen everything now in the NFL. Yes, an MVP candidate. Yes, Russell Wilson's dazzling, but you could not watch Monday Night Football and say that this was a Russell Wilson win. He delivered when he had to, but so many other guys did too. It's a full total team win, and yet still had that element of great escape. The Seahawks are 5-0 on the road for the first time in franchise history. I'm telling you, they like to be uncomfortable. It brings out the best in them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bit of a playoff atmosphere in Santa Clara. I know it, the name of the stadium is Levi Stadium, but I saw someone on Twitter call it Blue Jean Stadium. I mean, that's a cheap shot, really. So the last undefeated in the NFL, putting that record on the line in a game that was highly anticipated. Did anyone call it the game of the century? No, because we don't use hyperbole in the NFL like that. Ha, ha, ha. That was a joke, by the way. Early on, you could see that the defense was going to be the driving force in this game. Even from the very first possession, I know that the interception by Shaquille Griffin was negated by a defensive holding flag. But right away, you could tell, oh, there are going to be some defensive performances in this game that we'll talk about maybe for the rest of the season that are really going to set a tone. And they did. In fact, the stifling San Francisco defense held the Seahawks to 89 yards in the first half. 89 yards. The only reason that Seattle scored in the first half is because of Jadeveon Clowney and Jaron Reed, who sacked Jimmy Garoppolo and forced a fumble. So again, it was defense for the Seahawks early that got them on the board. And man alive, if you went to bed, I hope you didn't go to bed. For those of you on the East Coast, I get it. Sometimes you go to bed at 9:30. But the second half is when it really turned nutty. And this game delivered a little bit of everything. Seattle actually scored its first 21 points. I mean, they only had 27. 21 straight points off turnovers. And we've seen this be a bit of an issue for Jimmy Garoppolo at different points during the year. But he has an interception, then another fumble, this one forced by Jadeveon Clowney, and both lead to Seattle touchdowns. And so we go from a 10-0 San Francisco lead, a wild momentum swing. What do I tell you all the time? Momentum is fleeting in sports. You think you've got it, and then poof, it disappears. And all those turnovers leading to the first three touchdowns, the only three touchdowns for the Seahawks. And yet, that wasn't the end of the story. So if you thought 21-10 was the end of the story, boy, were you in for a surprise.
Wilson under center, Carson in the backfield, three on the line for San Francisco. Receiver motion, snap, spin, fake handoff, blocked by Carson. Here comes Warner. They got him back. At the 25, the ball loose. It's picked up on the play by Buckner from the 5. Down the near sideline. Touchdown, San Francisco.
They got him back, all right. I know that's not what Kevin Harlan meant on the Westwood One Radio Network. But yeah, they got him back after the Seahawks defense had produced those turnovers and the points then for the Seahawks. Well, the Niners returned the favor and got him back. DeForest Buckner with a fumble return for a touchdown early in the fourth quarter. And again, that's where it really started to get all kinds of wild and twisty and traumatic. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Three consecutive field goal drives. So the defense tightening up, not allowing a whole lot throughout the course of this game. Chase McLaughlin, you heard his name a ton. I'm sure. Oh, he's still trending on Twitter, actually. I just looked over. He's still trending on Twitter. The new kicker for the Niners, because Robbie Gould is on injured reserve. He was out there kind of coaching up Chase. And so Chase hits from 47 yards with a second to go to send the game into overtime. Pressure kick, right? That was huge. Young guy, biggest stage, biggest moment of his career. Boom. Nails it. Just remember that moving forward. First drive of overtime, what happens? Russell Wilson, he throws an interception in the red zone. It was just his second interception of the year. And man, it was we're talking about an interception of inches. So if the ball had been maybe 3 inches higher, it goes over the hands of the defensive back and it ends up being a touchdown. I love those moments where you think, I can hear Tony Romo in my head right now. This is the reaction that I have in my living room very often. And then Tony Romo has the same reaction verbally and vocally on CBS. And so Russell Wilson ends up throwing an interception. And San Francisco has an opportunity then to turn around and end it. Because if there's no touchdown on the first drive, well, then it becomes a sudden death situation.
To win the game and to keep the 49ers perfect. Snap from Kyle Nelson. Wisnowski has it away. McLaughlin's kick. He hooked it. It is no good. It is wide left. Game's not over. 3:06 to play.
Okay, he didn't just hook it. I mean, he shanked it. It was a shankopotamus. I'm not sure what's worse, a double doink or a shank, like something you would see off the tee if you golfed with me. No, I don't generally shank, actually. I have this wicked slice when I overswing. But it was more like that. It was a total miss kick, miss hit, mistake for Chase McLaughlin. The call there with Greg Papa on the Niners radio network. As you can imagine, the reaction varied from one sideline to the other. I think it's kind of funny when guys can't even look. And yes, of course, the fans will tell you exactly what happened if you're there in the stadium. But it's kind of funny the various ways that guys deal with potential game-winning kicks. So then we go back-to-back, three and outs. But the one that will stand out to me is the play calling for San Francisco. How many opportunities do you want to give Russell Wilson in overtime? If at first you don't succeed. So the Niners take just 25 seconds off the clock with their three and out, and they don't run the ball at all. Granted, they hadn't had a whole lot of success running the ball. They only had 87 yards for the game. And so Seattle was really committed to that push up front, not just the pass rush, but also stuffing the run. But at least try to take some time off the clock. Nope. Gave it back to Russell Wilson with a minute 25 remaining. And what does Russell Wilson do in these situations? Well, as I said, the Seahawks like being uncomfortable, and he's the guy that generally is leading that charge. On third down, runs for 18 yards, his longest run of the game. Scrambles up the right side, gives them a new set of downs. Puts them in field goal range. And were we going to get a Chase McLaughlin epic finish? Can I just tell you something really quickly before we play the highlight? At home, I was feeling that tension in my stomach. You've got to be kidding me. One of the greatest games we've seen all season, meaning the drama and the back and forth. It's going to end in a tie. Are you kidding me?
Michael Dixon puts it down. That kick is away. And that kick is good! The Seahawks win! It's good! From 42, the Seahawks in overtime win for the second time in 2 weeks. And they beat the undefeated, now once defeated, San Francisco 49ers.
That's Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network. It was a little bit tight. It was pretty close to the upright. Kind of had a, and I don't know whether it's, I don't exactly know whether it's a slice or a hook or which way it was going, but it had a little bit of a turn to it at the end, a boomerang effect, where it kind of curved back inside the upright. But guys were talking in really high voices because they were nervous. So congratulations to Jason Myers, who gets that game-winning kick. How about this? Not only is Seattle perfect away from home, in fact, the only two losses of the season have come inside their own stadium where they're supposed to be so good, but 8 of the 10 games for the Seahawks this season have been decided by a touchdown or less. What am I telling you? They like it when their backs are against the wall and their feet is to the fire. And to hear Russell Wilson talk after the fact, you recognize this guy doesn't get flummoxed. He doesn't panic. He doesn't freak out. He just goes to work. And again, that sets a tone for his entire team.
I think the great thing about this game for our football team was just the resilience. We've had it all year. We've been, I think, the toughest team in terms of a resilience all year, in my opinion. I think that just how we stay encouraged, how we stay focused, how we just keep having the faith and keep believing that something great's going to happen. I think our defense played great throughout the night in a tough environment, tough game. We made plays when we needed to, and we knew it was going to come down to the wire. I said it earlier in the week, I thought it was going to come down the wire. Didn't think it was going to come down to overtime, no more time on the clock kind of wire, but that's just a true amazing moment, wildest game, most amazing game I've been a part of for sure.
Russell Wilson, 24 of 34, 232 yards, a touchdown, an interception, a fumble. So not necessarily MVP numbers, but if you watch the game, you get it. You get it about Russell Wilson. He has that quality. It's a partly experience thing. It's a partly being coached and prepared thing. It's partly the trust of the guys that are on the field with him, as well as the guys, the coaches that are on the sidelines. All of that. I mean, what hasn't he seen on a football field? And what haven't he and Pete Carroll been through together? Which is, once you have a relationship between your coach and quarterback like that, there's something intangible about that. And we see it certainly with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. I mean, there are other coach-quarterback relationships that are developing now in the NFL. But the one between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, it makes a major difference. And it's helped them through what's been a couple of years now, a year and a half of transition. How about Jadeveon Clowney? They traded for him before the season began with the Houston Texans. And he said on Westwood One in an interview following the game, this is why they brought me here. This is why they went ahead and traded not just a third round pick, but a couple of linebackers, because they believed that in these moments I would come through. And boy, did he. He himself had 5 tackles, 5 QB hits, a sack, a forced fumble, a recovered fumble, and a touchdown. So a lot to pick apart about this game, but mostly if you were a football fan, you had to love it. That was a wild roller coaster ride. Perfect for Monday Night Football. Where was the cat, by the way? I was expecting there to be a cat, as though Monday Night Football was going to trot one out because they got such major attention with the cat at MetLife the week before. You cannot blame the cat. All right, coming up, we'll get the reaction from Jimmy Garoppolo as well as Kyle Shanahan, and love to get more of your calls in here, 855-212-4227. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy Tuesday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
A black cat has taken the field.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Backfield for Garoppolo, who stands strong, gets hit, ball is out, ball is picked up, Clowney goes the other way, touchdown, Seahawks!
K-Ron Williams will jump on Russell Wilson,
ball down.
And the ball came out late, DeForest Buckner picked it up and ran it in, touchdown, San Francisco!
Jason Myers will try to give the Seahawks the lead, snap, spot, kick, and it's good! Seahawks lead 24-21.
Chase McLaughlin to tie the game and force overtime. They got it down. Chase has it away.
It's right down the middle. What's his name, Ryan?
Chase McMahon.
Tie game.
To win the game and to keep the 49ers perfect. Snap from Kyle Nelson. Wisnowski has it away. McLaughlin's kick. He hooked it. It is no good. It is wide left.
Russ has to get the ball out of his hands. No, he's got running room. 45, midfield, first down, slides down. He's across the 40-yard line. And that kick is good from 42. The Seahawks beat the undefeated, now once defeated, San Francisco 49ers.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steve Rabel on the Seahawks Radio Network, Greg Papa on the Niners Radio Network. Some wild swings in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, in overtime. I thought it was a pretty incredible display of football. It made me tweet that I heart football. Some girls doodle about the boy they love. I doodle about football. I don't know what that says about me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Did you know there was a little extra motivation for the Seahawks defense? Now, to this point, they had been ranked near the bottom of the NFL when it came to sacks, when it came to pass rush. They'd done some things well, but Bobby Wagner would tell you they had a little extra something-something on their minds as they went into Monday night.
That was our mindset the whole game. We just wanted to prove, you know, we were the best defense on the field today, and it was really on our mindset because we understood, you know, what everybody was thinking because of the last 2 weeks. So, you know, we felt like we played really well.
Also, according to our Seattle insider who joined us from the press box, poor guy was still in the press box when he joined us at midnight, West Coast time, midnight California time. He said that they were kind of tired of hearing all about the Niners defense and how great the Niners defense is. And so they felt like this was their opportunity to prove that they were the best defense on the field. But he refers to the last 2 weeks. And against the Buccaneers, they gave up 34 points. Remember, that was also an overtime win for Seattle. And on the road in Atlanta, they gave up 20 points. Going back to their game against the Ravens, they gave up 30 points. Against the Browns, 28 points. Against the Rams, whose offense is nearly non-existent now, 29 points. So they've had a pretty healthy stretch in which they've given up at least 20 points, but that only happened once. Everything else has been 24 points or more over the course of this last month and a half. However, 8 of their 10 games decided by a touchdown or less, and they are now 8-2, half game back of the Niners in the NFC West. They haven't had a real scintillating rivalry over the past, what, 5-6 years? But this could be the signal that they're back. Big step forward, according to Pete Carroll. Not because that they have won anything yet, but just, again, the confidence boost, the wisdom, the experience. I think to go on the road and extend that success as well is huge.
That's a really good step forward, and we need it. You know, we need to keep engaging and improving, and there's a lot of ways We haven't done nothing yet. We got a long ways to go and all that. But this is as good a test as the league could offer us on the road and all that. The crowd was great. Hats off to the NorCal crowd. They were good tonight, and our guys hung in there and handled it really well.
As for Jimmy Garoppolo, 3 turnovers. And I mentioned that the first 21 points for the Seahawks all came off of turnovers. They are game changers, especially in a game like this. Garoppolo, 24 of 46, 248 yards and a score. But it's the 3 giveaways that will definitely stick.
It's just about execution at the end of the day. I mean, it's nothing crazy. You just got to go do your job, execute, and move on play after play. And just do that throughout the entire game. And I think it's just we've been good at that. It's just, you know, we had a couple hiccups tonight. So just got to correct them and move on.
I mean, you're always disappointed when you didn't win, especially I felt we had a number of chances. I was very proud of our guys. I thought those guys, I thought we competed very hard. Guys left it all out there. I know guys are hurting right now. You know, I thought all 3 phases played hard. I thought our defense was unbelievable. I thought the offense played hard as they could, but made way too many mistakes to be able to pull out a win in that game.
Kyle Shanahan after his quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. And yeah, he's pretty bottom line about it. We made way too many mistakes for us to be able to pull out a win. And you can't do it. Even if you're at home, it's one of those situations where those mistakes will come back to bite you in the butt and haunt you a little bit, but maybe stick with you. And as Richard Sherman said, we'll bounce back because it was a lesson for us. It was a lesson on how to get better. Let's quick take a call before we get to our break. Danny's in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, thanks for having me on. I have one comment and one question.
Okay.
First comment is I commend you 1,000% for taking your stance on not biting the hand that feeds you. The reason why I say that is I work at a very popular sports bar in Atlanta, and my employer will be very quick to let somebody go if any of our employees try to get, quote-unquote, political. However, my question to you is MVP race, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, what do you got?
I think at this point I'm still leaning toward Russell Wilson, and it's more it's not even about number stats. I guess I could look at the stats. I mean, he's got 22 touchdowns. Had one last night, so 23 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. And Lamar Jackson's got some really dazzling numbers. But I think because of the tight games, the way that I've talked about the Seahawks and how he's performed when there have been deficiencies for the defense, also the fact that they have been perfect on the road. And there's so little to pick up with the Baltimore Ravens, so I'm not saying I'm picking apart what they're doing. I feel like they're rounding into form, and that game against New England really showed the best of the best. But in terms of trying to compare the 2 quarterbacks, I think because of a little more of the intangibles, and part of it's the wisdom and experience, the leadership of Russell Wilson, and the fact that they've had such transition and turnover on the receiving core as well, where they've had so many new guys or guys get injured, and that, you know, Doug Baldwin retired. So I think it's really tight. I think Christian McCaffrey belongs in that race as well. But right now, I think my nod still goes to Russ.
Okay, I'm down with that. I'm leaning towards Lamar because he's 22 years old.
Yeah, he's definitely playing otherworldly football. I'll give you that.
He's young, and mm-hmm. He's awesome. Anyway, thanks for having me on, Amy. Thank you.
Thanks, Danny. Have a great day in Atlanta. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're asking you on the show, which of the trades in 2019 has made the greatest impact? So if you think back to March, it was Joe Flacco and Case Keenum, the first 2 guys traded in the NFL's new league year. All the way through October in the trade deadline, major names, major impact, exchanging uniforms. And so we'd love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Southern's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Cleveland Browns.
In the backfield, Nick Chubb on the right hip of Mayfield from the Buffalo 7. On second down, he's back. He settles. He's throwing. End zone. Touchdown. It's Rashard Higgins. Welcome back, Rashard Higgins.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Jackson sets in the pistol. Sends his tight end, Nick Boyle, to the slot right. Jackson will keep it on the read option. He's got it at the 40, 35, spins at the 30. He's got room, 20. Lamar Jackson, 10, 5, touchdown Ravens! Lamar Jackson with the spin, the sprint, and the score!
The Tennessee Titans.
30 seconds to go. Tannehill looking, firing over the middle. Caught. Humphreys, 5. Humphreys, end zone! Touchdown, Titans! Humphreys, 23 yards, and the Titans lead 33-32 with 23 ticks remaining.
The Oakland Raiders.
The Chargers show a 9-man front against this set. The hand, big hole, first down, end zone, touchdown, Jacobs, touchdown, Raiders, would you believe it, off the bench. The offensive line blows the hole open against that 9-man box, and Jacobs takes it home. Roll Tide, baby!
That was a while ago. It was before LSU Alabama, but I still like the call from Brent Musburger on the Raiders radio network. Who is your choice for Touchdown Tuesday? Hashtag TD of the week. The poll is now up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. And also on our Facebook page, other candidates, Mike Keith with the game-winning touchdown for the Titans against the Chiefs. Gosh, sometimes they blend together. But yes, the Titans come back with a huge touchdown. Of course, we know about Lamar Jackson's spin move. It's everywhere, as it should be. His 47-yard TD scamper, the best of Lamar Jackson, Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens radio network, and then Rashard Higgins returning for the Cleveland Browns, and they got that touchdown drive when they needed it against the Buffalo Bills. They saved the best for last. Jim Donovan on the Browns radio network. So weigh in. Let us know your choice for TD of the week. Yes, there are other candidates. There are many other candidates. Minka Fitzpatrick with a score. Marcus Peters with a pick six. We just saw Jadeveon Clowney with a fumble return for a touchdown on Monday night. There are a lot of different ways we could go. It's difficult to narrow it down to four. We'll take your write-in votes, of course. Coming up next Sunday. I mean, Sundays are great. It's the weekend. However, I feel like the season is going so fast. Week 11, an NFL and CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic QBs in the sport. We just talked about Lamar Jackson. The Ravens, they welcome Deshaun Watson and the Texans coming off a bye. That's followed by New England bracing for another tough road game in Philadelphia. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS. I didn't say this earlier on the show, but I feel like I'm going to tack it on here. Just for those of you who know what I'm talking about, great. If you don't, that's fine too. On the Monday Night Football broadcast, it was an opinion expressed that the kicker, Chase McLaughlin, was out of his element. The moment was too big for him when he missed the kick in overtime. A 47-yarder after he had made a 47-yarder minutes earlier to send the game into overtime. And in fact, had made a couple of kicks in the game. I disagree with that opinion that the moment was too big for Chase. Yeah, he shanked it. It was awful. It was embarrassing. It probably won't be the last time. That's part of being a professional athlete, is that you succeed or you fail, and you do so famously in a blaze of glory on national TV a lot of times, and we all get to sit back and offer our opinions. But here's my opinion. Even when an athlete screws up in a critical moment with a game hanging in the balance, it does not mean the moment was too big for him or for her, especially after Chase delivered minutes earlier. Humans mess up. It's just a part of sports, and it's a part of life. Sometimes we screw up. Sometimes we choke. Sometimes on the biggest stage, we fail epically. I mean, my stage isn't that big, but I screw up all the time on my radio show. It's just, it's a part of being a human being. We're not perfect. We're nowhere close. And honestly, who wants to watch sports when everything's perfect? So I didn't think that was fair. I didn't think that was a fair assessment. I disagree that the moment was too big for him because he messed up. The other great thing about messing up in those huge moments is that down the road somewhere, you will have the chance for redemption. That's also a part of real life. In most cases, 99.9% of our mistakes, they're then followed up by opportunities to make good, second chances. We are definitely a race that thrives and I think embraces second chances. So, yeah, moment not too big for him. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Chance says on Twitter, Marcus Peters to the Ravens. In answer to our question about the most impactful NFL trade of 2019, the defense has a totally different personality and swag with him. Honestly, if you look at the trades that have been made in 2019, I would say that it's probably the ones on the defensive side of the ball that have made the greatest impact. I think I'll write my column about that today. Gary's listening in Jacksonville. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Hey, I didn't quite understand that last caller, what Lamar Jackson's age has anything to do with whether he's the league MVP or not. But
well, only that he just doesn't have a lot of experience, and so he's kind of playing beyond his wisdom and beyond in terms of his starting experience, beyond what you expect from a guy who's so early in his career. He has a lot of poise.
That should have nothing to do whether you're the league MVP or not, though. What I'm saying.
No, I think he said he was more impressed by the fact that he was 22 years old. I agree with you.
Okay.
It's not a factor.
It wasn't well explained by him. But
Well, you know what? He's not a talk show host. He's just a guy who's a fan, kind of like you.
Right. Amy, two in a row for my Dolphins. But what I wanted to comment on, locally down here, Amy, Shad Khan stirred a lot of fury recently, questioning the passion of the fan base, you know, talking about games in London, and they asked about the possibility of the Jags having this maybe a second game in London in the future. When I think he should have looked in the mirror, Amy, because the fact that, listen to this staggering statistic, the Jags have drafted in the top 10 out of the last 11 years. And as a fan base, you can only beat your head against a wall so often. And,
until what?
Look at
then what happens? When you're done banging your head against the wall, then what happens? You find a new team?
No, but four times more than any other team the Jags have drafted in the next closest team, the Cleveland Browns. He should look at who he's got in place in the front office. It's his responsibility to put out a decent product, too. And when you keep the same front office that's doing a terrible job, any other GM would have been fired. And you look at the job Caldwell's done with the draft picks in the first couple rounds. He's been god-awful. And Shad Khan, they need to put a better product out for the fans, too. It starts with the front office. Thanks, Amy.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. Wasn't Jalen Ramsey one of their draft picks just two or three years ago? And, I mean, I get it. It's hard. It's a hard inexact science. And when they don't pan out, but draft picks are only part of the equation. I mean, draft picks have to fit into a system. They have to fit into a structure that's already there. They they can make you better, sure. But again, it's an inexact science in who's going to work out, who's not, which guys are going to stay healthy, which ones aren't, you know, how they're going to perform when given the opportunity. So I don't, the Jaguars certainly have had some bleak years, but they were in the AFC Championship game not that long ago. It's funny. It's funny to even think about that now, right, with Blake Bortles. Was there a Blake Bortles sighting this weekend? I feel like I saw that. Didn't Blake Bortles come in for a snap with the Rams? Just one. It was just one. I think he may have had like a yard. It wasn't a running play necessarily. But Blake Bortles on the field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I didn't have a chance to play the audio, so maybe we'll do it on our next show. But some funny stuff with Coach Popovich as Tony Parker's number 9 was retired by the San Antonio Spurs. And it's funny to hear Coach Pop in these moments where he's not dealing with the media directly and he lets his guard down because it's the real Coach Pop that we don't get to see very often. And obviously his players are so incredibly loyal to him, the way that they believe him and trust him, and how a lot of times they stay there for the length of their careers if they have that opportunity. And so it was really neat to hear Tony Parker's comments about Coach Popovich, but also Coach Pop pretending like he didn't even know the number 9 was in the rafters. So rafters, did I say rafters or raptors? Yeah, rafters. I just had a moment. Can we call it? I don't know if we can call it a senile moment. Just a moment where for a second there, I thought, wait a minute. No, it's Raptors. Nope, that's a basketball team. Hey, it was a really long day. And it's the end of the show. See what I mean about human screw up? We say the darndest things. It's not just kids. Anyway, let's try to get to that on the next show because it was good stuff. And trying to think elsewhere in sports outside of the NFL, certainly the rookie of the years getting their awards, their hardware on Monday was cool. A neat capper for Pete Alonso and the New York Mets and the 53 home runs. But I like how his video addressed to the fans on the Mets Twitter, that was more about, hey, next year is going to be special. Next year, we're going to do this thing. Next year, we're going to take this all the way. And so that was kind of cool. I love his enthusiasm and his energy. Yordan Alvarez, a unanimous selection in the American League of the awards, 30 voters. So that's kind of cool. And he already has a taste of the World Series, right? So good stuff. Major League Baseball in its awards season. We are in that calm between football weekends. We'll be back tonight for the Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.